Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Stephanie Alexander. Stephanie is part of Alexander Family Farm, located in Humboldt and Del Norte counties. Blake and Stephanie and their five children are strong proponents of sustainable organic farm practices, nutritional education, and environmental stewardship. So Stephanie, you started out in farming in Southern California. How was that?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it so much that I always wanted to marry a dairy farmer. It was something I prayed about.
And you met Blake.
I met Blake at Cal Poly. Oh. He was dairy science major and I was an ag business major.
And Blake was from up here.
Yes, originally. Blake was born and raised on a dairy in Ferndale. He is fourth generation dairy farmer from Ferndale.
And then eventually you guys found a piece of property up here.
We did. For the first 4 years of our marriage, we actually dairied in my hometown of Chino. And then property came for sale in Crescent City. Uh-huh. And it was an opportunity for us to move back kind of to his home area. We always thought we'd raise our kids in Ferndale, but when we bought the ranch in Crescent City, soon after we realized, wow, we had our hands full. And so we were raising our family in Crescent City on that dairy farm.
Uh-huh. Now, how is that as a location in terms of transporting dairy products? Is it difficult? Is it more isolated up there than down here?
It is isolated. However, we're fortunate that we're close to Rumiano Cheese and Humboldt Creamery, in which we sell our milk to.
Oh, okay.
And then also a feed source is right in over the Oregon border in Central Point, and that's a source for our organic grains.
Oh, okay. More connected to Oregon than up there in
Correct.
Crescent City.
Sometimes I do feel like we're more like Oregon. However, we never go north. We tend to always go south.
And you now have farms in our area down here.
We do. When Blake's grandfather passed away, he encouraged his uncle and father to continue that dairy on. And then eventually it was a little much for them, and we wanted to see it continue. So we bought into it and became a partner, and now it's part of our operation.
And when did you decide to convert your dairy to become an organic dairy?
It was in the late 90s. At that time, one of our great friends was starting a dairy in Kansas, and he was milking about 10,000 cows. And in Blake visiting that dairy, the realization came that here we're getting the same price of milk and they're so efficient, they're so close to a feed source. What can we do to make our farm more efficient and more of a viable option for our children? And at that time, a creamery in the Bay Area came to Humboldt County and they were looking for organic milk producers. So Blake attended that meeting and realized that this might be a great fit. So then in 1999, we started that process of learning how to be an organic dairy farmer. However, it took a couple years, so we didn't get certified till about 2001.
Now, tell me about the eco-dairy kind of labeling of Alexander Farms.
Well, it started when we became organic. We decided to start with all our calves and heifers, and there was a vacant dairy facility across the river in Smith River, and we kind of coined it eco-dairy because that was going to be organic dairy. So as animals started calving in and going through that organic transition process, we started milking them at that eco-dairy, and then when we became certified in the fall of 2001, and we just always referred to that, you know, that site was the eco-dairy, that was our organic. And then basically from that point on, anything that calved in our operation went through the organic system management plan. So that's how we kind of grew our organic. So as we called out conventionals, our replacements were organic.
Okay. And so you've been fully organic for how long?
Since 2005, we've been fully organic.
Oh, okay. And now organic means more than just, you know, how you're raising the animals. I mean, you have land management practices that you use that are maybe different than a conventional farm?
Oh, correct. Well, under the organic system, we definitely are different than conventional. We utilize our compost and our nutrient waters for our fertilizer sources. And we're not putting any chemicals or herbicides or pesticides on our land. We work with nature. We don't want to do anything that kind of kills the natural environment. We really pay attention to the biology, the soil biology. We're not tilling the soil. We do more no-till systems. we want the roots to do the work, pulsing and making healthy ecosystems under the grass.
And you have some streams that run through your property that have some salmon in them?
Correct. Over time, we've been able to fence off all our riparian areas. And we do, it's been documented that we have 5 different species of salmon that run through our ranch, and they do really well. Fish and Game monitors them and reports back to us that sometimes the biggest fish they see have come through the streams that pass through our ranch.
That's great. So you have them fenced off so that the cattle don't get down in that stream area?
Correct. We don't want there to be any erosion of the banks or anything. We want it to stay healthy, and we want to see sometimes sunlight get in there and then shade at other times, and just keep the cows from trampling it and ruining the ecosystem down into the stream.
Okay. And all those nutrients that are in all that cattle manure, I mean, I'm a gardener. I think that's good stuff. But you also incorporate some other waste that you get from other industries.
We do. So our winter housing allows us to keep the cows in freestall barns. And we have a manure management system that is set up to where the solids are separated from the liquids. And the liquids become part of our manure management, the nutrient pond, so to speak. And we can irrigate with all that nutrient water all over our ranches. And the other beautiful thing is the solids, and they're separated out through a static screen separator. Then we also get all the fishery waste, the crab waste and shrimp waste and things from local fisheries from Humboldt and Delaware County, and we incorporate that in our compost piles. And then our bedding source is sawdust from the and shavings from the lumber mills, and we use that for bedding. Then we incorporate that into our compost piles, and that just creates this beautiful compost that we put back onto the land. It's just rich, and we can see it in the grass.
I'm so jealous. I'm having jealousy here.
People sometimes come by, can we buy the good stuff? And it's like, well, we really don't have any for sale. That's our good stuff.
So let's talk about your children and getting your children involved in the farms. Now, were they, as young children, did they always have chores that they had to do, or did you kind of wait till they were older before they actually had things to do?
You know, we made a special attempt to live right on the farm in the heart of it. So we live across the street from the milk barn, and that was really important to us. We remodeled a little house that was 1,200 square feet, and that's still the house we live in today. And raised the 5 kids in there. I would say from an early age, they were always a part of it. Blake is just awesome to take them when they were little, just little tykes, with them in the pickup to check this, or one of them would go with him to a meeting and they'd have to sit still and, you know, they would talk about the meeting on the way home kind of thing. So he always had the kids with him. The oldest two were the boys. As soon as they were really old enough to do age-appropriate chores, they were doing it. And when we got chickens, the chickens were their responsibility. We had no idea it would kind of go into what it did today, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. But they were driving tractors probably earlier than most farm kids.
They probably didn't have a driver's license, did they?
No. The little joke is our youngest, Savannah, wrecked her first Toyota at 6 years old. You know, I mean, they were just could hardly see over the steering wheel, but they were driving probably more than they should have been. But they were very responsible and respectful of it.
Yeah. I think about just kids, you know, who are raised on a farm, just the responsibilities that they have that are so different than kids that are raised in the cities.
Yes, yes. And when it was silage season and I was busy in the office, you know, sometimes the kids would be, can I ride with Jody in the harvester, or can I ride with Santos in the silage truck? And they'd take a nap for a few hours, and then I'd hear back, okay, they woke up, they're ready to go to the house, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, so lulled to sleep by the harvester.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Great. So what sorts of different products do you produce out there?
Primarily, our business is organic milk. That's what we love. That's our economic driver. And the kids started an organic egg business from pastured poultry, so we have organic eggs. We also do some grass-fed beef and pastured pork.
Okay. Well, let's come back next week, Stephanie, and let's talk more about what your children did with their egg business and talk more about some of the dairy products that are coming off your farm.
Okay. Thank you.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.